This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yo, send the conversation. We back up in here. Me and D.
Yeah.
V's on the West Coast.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Take that, take that. We in here popping that Moet Chandon. You know what I'm saying? We talking that talk. We had a Stay Woke challenge. D.
Stay woke, y'all.
Stay woke. Wake up!
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! It is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. You already know on my right-hand side, that man, Vladimir Camaño, is on the left side of the country working on a hellified sitcom. Stay tuned on that, but then I'm going to throw it to the left-hand side.
On the left-hand side.
Who we got?
You got Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Back up in here.
There you go.
You know.
I see you got a plane ticket on you.
Oh, yeah. I'm fresh. I'm fresh out the A.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
How was that?
It was great, man. It was my little plane ticket. I needed to get that damn pre-check shit.
Oh, yeah. Nigga, that's a whole nother life. I've been on pre-check at least 2 years now.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother. I tell everybody in the world to fuck with it, but then I kind of don't want to tell people.
How long it take?
It don't take much. It take maybe like, for the total process, maybe like 2 weeks to a month. This is what it is. The only inconvenient thing for you, probably be inconvenient, is just going to the airport to do the interview.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that's by you, so... Really, all you do, go online, fill out the paperwork.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you, and then I think you go, fill out the paperwork, I guess, I forget what else, this has been a while, but you fill out the paperwork, then you apply for it, they send you, you know, an interview date, so this is where you can interview in your area, these are the dates that are available, you pick a date, you go to the date, and then you have a conversation with the cat. And I was like, this could weird go left.
Right.
You got what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They don't give a fuck, man. They not asking you that many questions.
They might
come for you, Ali Muhammad.
But I've been answering all them questions since 2001.
Right, so you probably...
I already know what the interview questions going to be.
Dude, that shit.
Like, where you was born, where your mom was born. All
I don't remember.
Hospital.
Like, not even all of that. Oh, it was more like... Why do you travel a lot? So what do you travel for? Where you going?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Like a little bit in your business, but nothing super crazy. Because if you live in legitimate, you good.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you know, they say, yo.
Pre-check motherfuckers be stunting on you.
Yeah.
Hey, they, you know what I'm saying? I don't remember which airport. Was it Charlotte or no, I was at LaGuardia, the worst place to fly American Airlines out of.
Because
it's in that central terminal.
Yeah.
So you be stacked in there. And the pre-check motherfuckers walking through like, hey.
Smoothie schmoo.
Smug. Not only were they walking through looking back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you got to look back
first
for?
First class for a regular motherfucker.
What you got to look back for? You know what I'm saying?
Because he want to let you know.
We see your punk ass going through the line.
Ah, see, look at the slander. You see that shit? That's envy.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you what be pissing me off, though, is when I hate when they try to check my pre-check. Like, I'm not all the way pre-check. I walk through. and they try to, excuse me, this is pre- Listen, I'm not new to this. Okay, my bad, keep going.
I ain't new to this, I'm true to this.
Ah, yeah, that pre-check is worth it, man.
Yeah,
I think it's
like
$100 for a few years. It's the fucking, it's the best thing you could, like, it's the best deal going if you get on the plane, dead ass.
Yeah, nah, I'm on it, man. I was supposed to been doing it, man. I've been tripping and slipping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just got back from the A.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Checked out the screening for the Organized Noise doc.
That comes out today right? Or yesterday.
But yesterday when y'all hear this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was dope, man. I liked it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should probably check it out.
I'm going to check it out tonight.
You know
is it, so you feel like it's in-depth, it gives you everything you need?
I mean, it's in-depth as probably they could have went without being, you know what I'm saying, salacious with one another.
Okay. Oh, okay. You know, without shitting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Rico Way, of course, is, you know, the voice
right.
of, you know,
the whole outfit.
The whole outfit.
Right.
And but you had everybody there, you know what I'm saying? But when it came down to the part where it was like the breakup, right, where cats weren't working together no more, it's, the interviews started dwindling.
Oof.
In the beginning, it was, you know, you had Big Boy, Trey, everybody.
Nobody want to talk about the fuck. But
in the end, and this probably was the edit, but in the end, that shit dwindled down to Rico, Sleepy.
Just the core group.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't a whole lot of, I wanted to hear what Dre had to say. I wanted to hear what Big Boy had to say. But overall, it was a great pick. It was a great look into, you know what I'm saying, what was going on inside of their minds when they were making the music that we were listening to.
Do you think that for a new generation, you think that this documentary will give these people that might not be familiar with organized noise, will they be inspired to go check some shit out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because the connection is so, you know what I'm saying, it crossed generational. So with, say, Dre 3000, he kind of crossed the generations.
Big Boy,
CeeLo, you know what I'm saying? Big Boy still out there a little bit. Big Boy discovered old girl, what's her name?
Janelle Monáe.
So it's kind of like cross-cultural in its effects. So, you know what I'm saying?
Future
is his cousin.
Right.
Future is Rico's cousin. I think they don't say it in here, but I think I think Metro Boomin and one of them other new cats, new producers, is kind of organized related. You know what I'm saying? So they got their hands in this generation a little bit, and what I think what they're trying to do with this is give themselves a new life.
A second act.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
What my man said in the trailer, you know what I'm saying? Like, time for a second coming. Okay. I ain't never heard of no third coming, so we got to make the most of it.
Make the second one work.
Sleepy was saying. So, you know what I'm saying? It was dope. I think this generation to really get a sense of the work ethic. You know what I'm saying? Just because, you know, with technology.
I was about to ask you that.
With technology now, you know what I'm saying? You could be your own crew in the room. You know what I'm saying? You got everything you need to make your whole shit. You don't really have to socialize.
Right.
Back then, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, they have, you know, 15, 16 cats sleeping at Rico Wade mama house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it gives you a good look into, like, the crew mentality that I think we lose a lot of in this generation. Well, over time, you know what I'm saying, when the technology started changing, I think we lost a lot of the crews and want to come out as a big group or a collective, you know?
Because it was back in the day, it would be like one cat would have equipment.
Right.
And everybody got to converge there to use the equipment.
Right.
And then you just become friends by default. Right. Oh, he came through. Next thing you know, now we all good. Yeah, you don't see that. Now, everybody got a laptop.
Yeah, everybody got.
You do that shit on your iPhone.
Everybody downloading beats from the internet and getting it popping.
That's why a lot of shit be sounding emotional.
Yeah, you'd be home, sad. And home in the house, four walls staring at you. You know what I'm saying? So I think the younger generation, I think it'll be some inspiration as far as going all the way there, you know what I mean?
Because,
like, even now, even with the new producers like Metro Boomin, he's, like, legendary in name.
Right.
I don't think I ever seen him. I don't know nothing much about him. You know what I'm saying? I don't see nothing about
him.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Visually, I don't have no idea of how he rolling.
But I didn't really have no idea really about Rico Wade and, like.
But you knew about Dungeon Family.
You knew about, but that's the thing. You knew about it. Like, Outkast and Goody Mob, like, they were the people that were out there. They were of the Dungeon Family, but they were, like, the, you know, the artists.
Right.
But when it came down to being in the dungeon, you know, Rico Wade. What's the other cat that's down? I mean, obviously Sleepy, but what's the other? There's another.
Ray.
Like, I don't know what Ray looked like.
Nah, but that was what they were saying in the thing. Ray was like, you know what I'm saying? He was in the cut. He was doing the bulk of the production.
Okay.
So Rico, you would see him. Rico was in the first video. You knew he was from the rip.
Yeah, but did you, though?
I mean, I did.
You knew his face. Like, when somebody said, that's the guy that produces.
Nah, like, you knew that was Rico Wade. Like, who was the cat with the, because you thought, at first, when Players Ball came out, you thought he was part of the group, because it was like, he had the braids that needed to be done with no shirt on, coming through with the bowl of cereal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, back then, at that generation, we had to read to get the information.
That's what I'm saying.
So you would read and be like, okay, that's Rico Wade. You know what I'm saying? You're reading the source or reading or whatever, that, you know, who's who.
But see, that's what I'm saying. So, like, okay, so let me make an East Coast equivalent, kind of, right? Especially on the strength of a second act. I've been looking online. I've been seeing there's a lot of shit from DITC coming back, Digging in the Crates, right? Mm-hmm. DITC was a collective, but pretty much everybody was visible. You know, that's Diamond D, that's Showbiz, that's AG, that's Lord Finesse, that's Fat Joe, that's OC. You know what I mean? Like, these people, you know, like, they were all, they were basically all artists, right? So, and like, if you seen Pete Rock and CL Smooth, you know, oh, Pete Rock gonna say, I'm Pete Rock. I do the, you know, it's a Pete Rock. Like, he gonna be famous. I think with the like, the Dungeon family, you had to, like, you had to read up on them. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't as out front. You know what I mean? Which I appreciate.
But every artist that was fucking with them shouted that shit out. They was they was gonna say Rico. They was gonna say Dungeon Family. They was all saying that shit. So you had to kind of figure out who was that. It's like with Marley Marl, like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody that that's got on his joint shouted him out. Like, he was a producer, but you kind of knew Marley Marl synthesized it. You know what I'm saying? Like, always shouting him out, and that's just when you start looking them up. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, they, of course, they wasn't as visible. We all know that, but again, as a movement, I think, I guess, being down there, it just felt like it was a big thing.
It's also like, but there's an appreciation for that too, because, like, if you think about, like, the Bomb Squad, right? Keith Shockley and with Hank.
Hank Shockley, yeah.
Hank Shockley, pardon me. And what's the Keith? It's another cat, right? It's Hank Shockley and I don't know.
Hank Shockley was kind of like the main one.
He was the main guy.
He was the Rico. He was the Rico of the Bomb Squad.
That's my point. Like, I don't, like, Hank Shockley could walk right through here, and his sound is official. He could walk right through here. You know what I mean? Like, it is some mystique to that, too, sometimes.
No doubt. You had that Bomb Squad, you know, but it was kind of like whoever they shouted out. Like, you ain't know, they didn't shout out the Bomb Squad individually. They kind of shouted out the Bomb Squad. You knew that. You know what I'm saying? But then they shouted out Harry Allen, who was like kind of like a peripheral member. And it, like, media, you still remember that. Like, you see him on Twitter, and the only thing I can hear in my head is, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
But that's a tough ass, that's a tough ass title too. Media Assassin.
You know what I'm saying?
That shit is fire. Media Assassin. That shout out, it would go together. I'm a Media Assassin.
So, you know, I guess,
shout out to Harry Allen.
And I guess, you know, back then you was more, I was more into kind of trying to figure out who was who. That was the whole point. Like, you had no internet. Like, you was trying to get in this game, man. You had to read the Billboard every week. You know what I'm saying? Just start writing names down.
Now you got documentaries and podcasts.
You know, yeah, you got documentaries, podcasts.
Give you the context.
Google like a motherfucker.
Rap genius.
You go back and find out his former life before he got into business.
Who sampled who?
But, you know, it's, that's all good. It make it easier. But I think that collective coming together suffers because you don't have to.
Yeah, you got to really make an effort to, that's why, it's, I mean, I mean, it's not, it's, crews are popping up again. They slowly coming together, but, like, you know.
We're a crew.
We're a crew. I mean, right now, we, you know, we, we ain't all the way, you know what I mean, we the triumphant. But, yeah, we the ITC.
We the triumphant.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We the podcast assassins.
There you go. Woo-hoo! All right. I'm with that shit.
So that was cool, man. Out there, you know what I'm saying, seeing some of the Atlanta faces, you know what I'm saying, that we worked with all over the years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get to see how, you know what I'm saying? Even though a lot of those, faces and names weren't in New York, how crucial they were to one, it's, at least for me, building my career and a lot of things that I made, moves that I made, a lot of those people were right there, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out.
Like Orlando McGee, you know what I'm saying? Big Oomph, Shanti. But then Shanti ended up coming to New York, you know what I'm saying? Amy. You, it used to be Amy and Laura. I didn't see Laura at the joint. Laura Giles.
Oh,
Amy Jarofsky.
Laura Giles. I forgot.
Laura Giles was like the plug on the low. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Laura.
Laura used to be, she used to run Patchwork. You know what I'm saying? Before it was a label, before it was a studio. Like, Patchwork is like one of the, is one of the biggest studios in the Southeast. So a lot of records were recorded there. Bob used to play for the Falcons. He owns it. But he used to have a record label.
His last name, Bob, who used to play for the Falcons. When he used to play for the Falcons, that becomes your last name. Ali used to play for the Knicks.
You know what I'm saying? I thought you was part of the crew. You supposed to roll with that. You supposed to call me out on it. Oh, I can remember this last night.
Yeah, shout out to
Bob. I knew his energy, though.
Yeah, there you go. It's established. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? I know shit.
I ain't call you out. I was just fucking.
Bob used to be married to the old girl from the Housewives. What's her name? Cherie. What's Cherie last name?
I don't know. I don't watch the Housewives like that.
Yeah, whatever. So
that's not my shit.
Cherie Whitfield. Bob Whitfield. God damn.
There you go.
So Bob Whitfield.
Shout out to Bob Whitfield, yeah, and his mother.
Bob Whitfield owns Patchwork.
Okay.
Laura used to run the label before it was a studio. Then when they built the studio, she was like the studio manager. So she was plugged in with everybody. Anybody you need to know.
You can get that.
You could call Laura, she'll plug in.
Switchboard. Boom, I got you.
So that was big once the South music started kind of becoming popular across the country. So they were very crucial in making a lot of shit pop. Yeah, so it's good to, you know, kind of be in that mix again.
Get around that energy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
What's up? Did it inspire anything for you?
Well, of course. I mean, shit, anytime I make a move, I'm inspired. So it inspired me, you know what I'm saying, to kind of like give you one of them situations to where it's like, shit, you are who you always was, you know what I'm saying? And then, and when you live in New York so long, you lose that when you fly back in the city, that energy you used to get when you fly back in the city sometimes. So, but when you go back down south and refresh, you know what I'm saying? You come back and you see the buildings coming across. It's like, oh, shit, I'm coming to take this shit over. You know what I'm saying? Because that'd be your energy. That's how you be feeling. Like, shit, I'm about to come land. I'm going to get on the ground and make shit happen.
It's like a reapproach.
You know what I mean?
It's like I figured it out while I'm in the sky. I'm going to tear this shit down. I know
how I'm going to get it when I get back. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's always, you know, coming back from the South is always that type of situation.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? So that was cool. I got to hang out with my nieces. Went to their cheer competition.
Oh, word?
Very different lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? It's very, almost like a suburban lifestyle, even in the city of Atlanta. So it was like a bring it on type of situation.
Oh, a big deal?
Yeah, like a bring it on cheer competition. So I went to that. That was cool.
Those shits are intense.
Yeah.
The stakes is high. There's a lot of energy, a lot of fraught, nervous energy.
You know what I'm saying?
How'd they do?
Oh, they did good. I think they brought in their fourth place.
Okay, that's what's up.
Nah, because shit, there was some girls out there killing.
How
shit.
Deep was it? Deep crazy? Like how many people?
I stopped paying attention after I seen my nieces.
Oh, you know, in and out. Like, all right. No, I'm just saying. Like, how many? How big was the competition? How many people were participating? How many
it was
teams.
It was like in the convention center. It was a lot of teams.
So it was a lot. Was
like, probably about, you know, 25, 30 teams or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta have stamina to watch that type of shit. My niece is like, she's into dance and she does the dance competitions. Mm-hmm. And my sister, you know, she goes there, she supports, and them shits be like 7 to 10 hour events.
And it's just
that's a lot, especially if you really only came to see your kid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck.
It's a heavy time investment. That shit is a racket. You know what I'm saying? And we, you know, it's like, it's kind of like a built-in, like you're a promoter and you got a built-in audience because these parents got to come see their kids.
Is that the ultimate hustle, kids?
It's the ultimate hustle, kids. Come on. And then, you know what I'm saying, after over time and shit, because the way they had it set up is each team get to bring all of their family up front to the front of the stage. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like a fan squad.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, some teams came with like an army. Uh-huh. You know, a little team out of Decatur, they came so deep. It was like, God damn.
Yeah.
So, one, you got this built-in audience where, you know, boom, the team's got to pay to be in the competition.
It's a bringer show.
Then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a bringer show. And then the parents come and pay $10 a head.
Right.
It's like, man, you got to be there all day.
It's a hustle.
I
think kids are the ultimate hustle.
I think the next hustle should be kind of like for those parents who wasted all their time doing all their kid essentials. They probably, you know what I'm saying, it's got to be some type of hustle to drag them into next for themselves once the kids leave the house or get old enough not to be doing all those activities and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, say what? Say it again?
You ain't listening.
No, I was trying to do something. I was looking at some shit for later on in the show, but go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, man, that the parents spend a lot of time there. Like you say, it's a huge time investment. Right. Like, if you do that shit every weekend with your kids, like, where does that leave your life?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the next hustle going to be moving those parents who did all that shit into something for them.
Like an after party.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a spinoff. Yeah. A
spinoff.
It's all, yeah.
I need to work on that.
I mean, it's there. It's there for you to see. I don't know. I don't know.
It's all that built-in shit, man. And it's, you know, I'm a parent, so.
So you know your market.
You know that you be sitting out, you know, with me it was AAU basketball, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go to these tournaments, you there 8 in the motherfucking morning. Your team play at 9. Then they had to wait for the other teams to play so they figure out who they playing next.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you do that 3 games and it's like, shit. You get home at night.
What time? So it's like a 10-hour commitment?
10, 12 hour.
All right, so what would be the... Because it can't be an after party after 10 hours fucking watching basketball.
It's not for that day. It's for once those kids age out of that and those parents realize they ain't got shit to do with their life.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like an old...
They typically start coaching. That'd be the hook. They like, shit, I know this hustle. Yeah, or promoting.
They start coaching because they ain't got shit. They got to be running because they've been doing it for the last 12 years.
Maybe an ill lounge in the arena, like for the parents, like a little smooth out. Like, since you got that little time between.
Little parent tent.
Yeah, little parent tent. Like, yo, because the kids are going to be amongst the kids. Y'all hang out. Look, I ain't far. You got my cell. Mm-hmm. I'm about to go to the parent lounge. You know what I'm saying? You don't dance again till fucking 4 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock. I'm about to go there.
Those little like pod hotels there. Yeah. In Asia, you know, something. Maybe set that up.
Something, yeah. You could, you know, no kids allowed. You could reach me. You know what I mean? Come to the desk.
Go on over there with your team.
They'll call me to the front because I'm going to be in the back. I might be fucking with some alcohol.
Yeah,
maybe not super alcohol, but we're going to have a good time.
You know,
a wine, massage chair.
A little wine or something.
Yeah, good cheese and a cracker.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
good. Look at that
good.
Shit. There you go. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Get that shit together.
See, I knew you was listening.
Yeah. Any fucking way. So that's what's up. That's
so,
dope.
Yeah, so I did all that, man. I'm back.
Man, that's good to hear, man. I was back inspired. No it's doubt. Always good to get inspired and shit.
Yeah, the weather changing, that's inspiring.
Come on, man. This weather is ridiculous now. It's getting cold again. It's getting ridiculous.
You know, that's temporary. The sun was still out.
The weather is so unpredictable.
You know what I'm saying? The days are longer. That feels different. That feels like summer on the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's 6 o'clock, the sun's still out.
It was cold as shit yesterday. It was dumb cold. It was like run into the crib cold. Like, because what happened was they got you with the, when once we spring forward, we need to be done with all of that cold weather shit. Like, it can't get but so cold. We done sprung forward. We sacrificed a whole hour. So I don't need to be super chilly anymore. And that shit was like 39 degrees the other day, and that shit was unacceptable.
That's the funny shit is that shit happened every year.
Yeah.
It's always a little chilly all the way up until a little after May.
Oh,
shit. Be a little chilly still.
Damn.
Until it really break. What's good with you, man?
Man, everything, man. Just out here working. Working on a couple things. Shit that I can't really talk about, but I could talk about it abstract. You know what I mean? In the abstract. I'll tell you more. But all right, so yesterday I got a mean call. Morning, early morning and shit. I got a mean call like, yo, are you a vet? You got a suit. A suit. It's one of those. You got a dark suit. Are you available? Can you be at this location by this time? They need, you know what I mean? They need shit. They need a black guy in a dark suit. Can you be there? I said, what's the situation? They was like, well, the situation is this. Some legendary white actors are doing a situation, and it could be a look for you. Why don't you come down with your suit on? I said, all right, how much time I got? It was like, you got to get there like within like a half an hour. I snatched the suit, took a quick shower, jumped in the Uber, got to the spot. That shit was something. It was interesting. I can't really get into it right this second. Sorry, I can't get into it right this second. As soon as I can really talk about it, I'm going to pull up. I'm going to really talk about it a little bit.
Pull up.
But I'll show you some situations. I felt a little. My only thing was, I'll say this. I was in a cool situation with some legendary legendary actors and actresses, right? Mm-hmm. Legendary.
White ones.
White. Legendary whites. Mm-hmm. Legendary white actors. And it was interesting. It was a cool little look. It's one of them looks where it's like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, you, I love the oh shit moment. You just jump in, jump out, you know what I mean?
Almost like you got invited to the Oscars.
Almost. They needed a black guy for the Oscars.
Hey.
You know a black guy, so I can't.
They got a black suit.
And which is weird. Which is weird when you get to. So wait, is it a token situation? Is that what you're telling me? Right. Well, I had to get some clarity on the situation. So now what exactly what's the situation?
Because
I'm not gonna just play myself here. They were like, no. So I said, all right, bet. And there was some of my people out there as well. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Other blacks?
Yeah, other blacks. Okay. You know what I mean? My people. I call them my people. Other blacks, OBs. And you know, a few OBs in the building. But it was an interesting situation. Did what we had to do. Then we went for a break. We had a few breaks, but we went for one break. They had to switch the shot up.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, they rapped me. So one of the most legendary, I wanted to catch a flick with, but I didn't want to do it while we was working because I'd look like fanboy and looking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only regret. I was like, damn, because you know, the social media got you feeling like if you don't get that look, it didn't really happen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because now I just feel like it happened. And I ain't got no real proof. I could talk about it.
Was it taped?
No, it's a taped situation. But the funny thing is, this is how in haste the shit was. I'm in the mix of this whole shit with no haircut. I'm out there wowing.
With the hood anxiety.
Yeah, they're like, ah, this nigga's in a good situation, but what's up with your line? Anyway, so that was fun. Suit was clean. It was crispy. It was a good time. So that was that. And then,
so you know what I'm saying? You happy you went? I mean,
oh, yeah. No, I'm happy I went. Like I said, the only regret I had was I didn't get that flick. Right. You know what I'm saying? But it was a cool, it was just a cool opportunity. It was fun. It was one of those things where we probably all had them where you don't know where life will take you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just open to the moment,
right.
You know, all right, fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. And it's right. Like, wow, who would have thought? You know, who would have thought yesterday or even when I woke up this morning that I would be where I am right now?
I woke up like this.
Yeah, it was cool.
So, shit, it was like that?
Yeah, it was popping. I'll tell you about it. It was popping.
Yeah. How long before you could, you know, tell the people?
Hopefully sooner than later. You know, that's why I just texted. I had to do a text. I said, yo, can I speak on it? Not yet.
Vague as a politician.
Yeah, I told
Hopefully
you.
Sooner than
I
later.
I started saying vague. And you know, I don't even like getting vague with the people. These are the people. These are our people. Shout out to our people.
Shout out to you vague know what I mean? Politicians.
Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick of the Roenick Life Podcast. Check out our podcast, and I can guarantee you'll hear great stories, blunt, in-your-face honesty. Our guests never disappoint. It's the Roenick Life Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn. Make sure you go get it. You won't regret it.
Speaking of vague politicians and shit, my man Rob Ford passed away today.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rob.
It's your boy, ain't it?
My boy, he's just as much my boy as he's your boy. My boy,
that's how they pass on the crackhead to you. That's your boy, ain't it?
Well, this is the thing. Let's talk about that shit. Because what I've been seeing in the news, and I don't want to be insensitive, but what I've been seeing in the news, I speak is they've been saying, now, no disrespect to anybody that suffers from cancer, but they've been saying it's cancer related. He's had complications with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our introduction as Americans, especially Americans of a certain, you know, age or whatever, right. Or just a certain sensibility, we were introduced to Rob Ford as a crackhead.
Right.
So no one's talking about the crack. Did the crack complicate shit? You know, because crack typically
complicate the cancer, yeah. I suppose. It's not like marijuana.
No. I don't know. Maybe 20 years from now, we'll find out there's benefits from crack smoke.
No doubt.
That people don't know about like we did with weed.
A crackhead will outlive your ass.
You know?
The fuck is he still alive?
Yeah.
He been smoking since 89.
Because they still making crack.
when they stop making crack, he's going to drop dead.
Dearly departed. Yeah.
So Rob Ford went on here to glory.
Yeah. Damn.
You know what I'm saying? But he lived it, though.
I guess, yeah, he went all out, huh?
You know what I'm saying? I wonder if they're going to say that about Marion Barry when he dearly departed.
Crackhead.
You think they're going to call him a crackhead, or they're going to call him the crack mayor?
They definitely put the crack in it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to... He can't just die in natural causes. You know what I mean? Like,
if it was cancer related, you think they'll say it was cancer related? It would be like,
in the first paragraph, there's gonna be some crack.
The crack mayor.
It's gonna be some crack talk.
Last time he was in the news, they definitely referred to him as the crack mayor.
And that was 20 years ago.
No, it was a couple years ago.
No, I'm talking about the crack.
Right,
the crack was
20 years ago. And he popped up in the news a couple years ago as the crack mayor again.
It's hard. Crackhead is really one of them things it's tough to shake. That goes longer than bad credit.
Oh, Marion Barry died. That's probably what you're talking about.
Thank you. Shit. And I almost want to say that, but I've been saying a lot of the wrong shit in these recent weeks.
Now, when you be talking off the cuff, that's why we got the good research.
What's the headline? Let's see the headline.
Oh, I'll look for a couple of headlines. I'm just seeing that he died.
Crackhead ass.
Oh yeah, let's see how they do. Yeah. Contrast the headline.
See if they
gave
Marion any dignity with his death.
You know what I'm saying? So Rob Ford, they got him with some dignity.
Yeah, he went out with complications. No crack even mentioned.
Hard partying.
Colorful lifestyle.
When you
those are fucking semantics for your ass. Go ahead.
When you do drugs and you white, they call it partying.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
Partying.
Yeah, he party with us. Man, y'all smoke crack for 2 weeks straight. That wasn't no party. Wasn't no music.
But partying is when you starting in the white. That's when
in
the white. I think party is cocaine related, maybe of crack, but like. Partying, like if you smoking weed with white folks, they won't say we partying. They'll just say we smoking weed. But when you start
doing the hard drugs, that's party.
Yeah, chill.
And it don't be no music.
Yeah.
So I grabbed a CNN article from when he died, crack comes up in the third paragraph.
That's
not bad. That's respectable.
The headline's just, Marion Barry dead at whatever age. But it says his professional accomplishments were often overshadowed by bad behavior in his personal life that made for startling headlines. And then it says a tape of him smoking crack.
That was the third paragraph.
All right, now let's see.
Crack is in the third paragraph. Bad behaviors in the second paragraph.
Ooh. Okay, let's see what Rob Ford's CNN article says.
Uh-oh. Here we go. CNN
challenge for the day. You know what I'm saying? Headline for headline.
Stay woke. This is the stay woke challenge.
Crack mayor for crack mayor. You know what I'm saying?
Can we make that our shit? The end the conversation stay woke challenge?
Hell yeah.
Are we going to do this a reoccurring segment?
Hell yeah.
The stay woke
challenge. Stay woke challenge.
Okay, here we go.
Wake
your ass up.
Third paragraph.
It's a template.
There's a template, exactly. There's a stay woke correspondent at the CNN.
The 46-year-old Ford gained international notoriety after a video surfaced in May 2013 that apparently showed him using crack cocaine.
What's it say in the second paragraph?
Second paragraph, Ford, who had been battling an aggressive form of cancer, served as a decade as a city councilor before being elected mayor.
No bad behavior in the second paragraph.
No bad behavior.
No.
So they hold out to the third paragraph.
Yeah,
okay.
Look at that
shit. Stay woke. They got a template. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't bad behavior.
List the accomplishments in the second paragraph for Rob Ford.
Shout out to Rob. Oh well, rest in peace to Rob Ford and Marion Barry, man. Real talk.
Shout out to Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Drake.
Six God. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Norm. Whatever he do.
Views from the Six. Oliver. OVO.
You ready for that?
Was the album?
Yeah.
I think it's very symbolic, you know what I'm saying, to where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to fuck the summer up.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Toronto is 416. You know what I'm saying? my house number at my crib is 416.
Flick. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's views from the six every day for me.
You know what I'm saying?
My daughter was born 416, so, you know.
We gotta get Drake on here.
It's symbolic. Yeah, we gotta bring OVO and Drake through the podcast.
Come through, talk about it.
Talk about it. So yeah, you know what I'm saying? Again, we talked about it before. I just like the energy he got coming around the corner, you know what I'm saying? Preparing everybody for the warm weather, music that he about to drop. And, I'm about that life.
There was some shooter. So many different
like a gun shooter
mass
or?
Shooters. Yeah, it's like a mass shooter happened a couple weeks ago. He shot up. I think he shot up his workplace. There's so many shooters, you forget who's who.
Mm-hmm.
But some guy shot up the spot, shot up his coworkers or whatever. And then before he did that, he made a video of him dancing to Summer 16.
All Summer 16?
All Summer 16.
Oh, and I'm looking for revenge.
Yeah, dog. I mean, when Drake sings it, I'm not really into it. It's a little too wispy.
That's his whole life.
But when a fucking a gunman who's just got done putting in work sings that shit, it's way more menacing. I was like, damn, this shit. In the 90s, they would have got rid of Drake. Drake would have been the Marilyn Manson of the game. They'd have been like, this shit is provoking violence. That shit didn't even make a headline. I seen it somewhere deep on Twitter.
Because it sounds so wispy when he says it. You know looking for revenge. I skip over that part and be like, all Summer 16. All Summer 16.
Yeah, that ain't
I ain't got no vengeance. But I'm gonna kick it with a vengeance out here.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna put this workout like with a vengeance.
Man.
You know what I mean? So I didn't even think about that part.
Your boy Hulk Hogan, though.
Oh, shit.
Hulk Hogan is...
With the Aaron Andrews effect.
Nah, he took that shit to the next level.
You know what I'm saying? It affected it.
Yeah.
So tell him to talk about it.
Hulk Hogan just, he had that, we talked about it last week a little bit. Hulk Hogan's sex tape got leaked on Gawker.
Right, and he was emotionally distressed.
He was emotionally distressed. And similar to Aaron Andrews, he felt violated.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to America, that white man's violation was worth way more money. Yeah. He got $140 million. $140 million to Aaron Andrews, $55 million.
Is that fair?
What's fair?
And that's before they even put the punitive. Punitive ain't even come out.
I think
out
the
yet.
Punitive was the 25 mil.
Oh, it was 115.
It was
115
plus 25.
Oh, I missed the that part.
Yeah.
But is a white man's shame worth more than anyone else's?
Well, you got to kind of look at, you got to look at Hulk Hogan as an entity versus Aaron Andrews as an entity. Nobody, I don't never want to, listen, everybody's suffering is on par with someone else's suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't like to debate struggle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Listen.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it. However,
Hulk Hogan is an established brand.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I watched the tape and I felt like I fucked better than Hulk Hogan.
It tarnishes his brand.
This motherfucker was the heavyweight champion for almost 20 years. Aaron Andrews, again, like I don't know her outside this thing. And I don't want to look at this. This is how you wind up on Jezebel. You know what I mean? But listen, all I'm saying is that man had a huge, he was a big name. He's a fucking big name.
Right. And I think more another thing that added fuel to the fire, he was a big name. And a media organization, a tabloid media organization, was targeting his big brand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of this has to do a lot with what's going on with celebrities and tabloid journalism or whatever you want to call it. I think this shit's going to put them on notice. You know that paparazzi shit that's way out of control right now? I think motherfuckers is, you know what I'm saying, going to have to think a little bit before they start posting shit.
Especially if that shit bankrupts Gawker.
Right. So, shit, yeah. $150 million.
That's a lot of
on
money.
On one story.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Shit.
Whew.
So, he going to have to spin his way out.
What you think?
What?
You think he deserves more? What you think? You think he got too much?
I don't know the specifics of the case, you know what I'm saying? Because, shit, if it was me, goddammit.
I didn't know the specifics either, but
Can I finish my talk? God, I got to preface my talk with some talk.
Ahead.
You be out here talking out the side of your neck. They be in the comments on your ass like, Ali, come on now.
Is that they coming at you like that?
Nah, you know how it is when you say some wrong shit.
Now, go ahead, man.
Well, shit. I celebrate the fact that the man got paid because these sites, the tabloid shit, the paparazzi shit, is a whole industry on itself that kind of, they're predators to that same type of content. You know what I'm saying? So every day they go out. I don't think that is fair for a motherfucker to be able to just sit on your motherfucking doorstep and wait for you to come outside and shoot you up. You know what I'm saying? Or stalk you or chase you down or, you know what I'm saying? That shit is wild to me.
But let me ask you this. Now we're going, and we got my man Chris on research if we really need to get into it. But I kind of thought, this is one thing, and I could be wrong, but this is the one thing, I guess Gawker didn't get the go-ahead, because it's not like...
The go-ahead
the,
from who?
To public. Well, this is the thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Aaron Andrews' situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a stalker, dude put in some shit. Mm-hmm. He taped her against her will. She unbeknownst.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I could be wrong, I don't know. Now, was the situation with Hulk and his man Bubba the Love Sponge and his wife,
mm-hmm.
was it a situation like, yo, Hulk, I want you to fuck my wife. I'm gonna set up the tripod.
No, no.
Okay.
It was supposed to be Hulk Hogan had a divorce. I said I ain't know no specifics, but I know all this shit now.
Look at this.
Hulk Hogan, this shit, I know this shit through osmosis and shit.
Go ahead.
Hulk Hogan was supposedly, he had gone through a divorce.
Right.
And then his homie called, like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I know you're going through it around there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to offer you, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a love offering. You could come through and, you know what I'm saying, smash the wife.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And in the midst of smashing the wife, he did the hidden camera scenario and taped it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a, you know, it was a setup. Then he went out. I guess he couldn't, what was he trying to sell the tape or something like that?
Yeah, well, I guess he sold it to Gawker, right? I mean,
right. That's probably the thing. Tried to make some other moves with it first and then ended up selling it to Gawker.
How come he ain't sue his homeboy?
His homeboy probably in the suit.
He ain't got no money.
His homeboy ain't got no money.
He ain't got no money.
It's just like with Aaron Andrews, you know what I'm saying? The bulk of that money got to come from Marriott.
Marriott, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The other half, she ain't even going to see that, never. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got $50 million to give her.
Speaking of judging what's fair and just,
mm-hmm.
they saying Sarah Palin is going to be the new Judge Judy. Did you hear this shit?
Nah, you know what I'm saying? No, I haven't heard it, but I can see that.
I can see it. I mean, it works.
You know what I'm saying?
It works. People like how she look.
Like how she looks. She ain't got no real, you know what I'm saying, no real serious, you know what I'm saying, politics with her no more.
I mean,
she just out here in the world.
No disrespect to the TV judges, because I know a lot of y'all might really be judges, but nobody
that
is
shit
really.
You judging on TV ain't real.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's really digging deep into your legal background to see if you are. This is a television show.
Yeah, this should be actors like, in there. Yeah, this shit ain't real.
Are they all fake?
I ain't say it's all, but okay. They do have actors in that shit.
Yeah. I know a couple cats. I know exactly. A friend of mine was on People's Court years ago, and they tried to. Never mind, it was a long story. I think they tried to give him a script. Like, listen,
right.
This is what's gonna happen.
Right.
This is what I need you to do.
So you know, it fits. She, I think her whole fucking political career was a hoax anyway. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? So I think she was just reading the script the whole time anyway. So it fits, man. Go ahead, get that money, Judge. Palin.
Judge Palin. Who's the best TV judge of all time, in your opinion?
I ain't never watched that shit, honestly.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I used to watch Judge Judy. Sure. She's good. She's fair.
I love it.
Wasn't it like who was the other one? What's the black lady that had the strong hair?
The strong hair?
Like the stiff hair. Like had the hairdo that was...
I don't know.
I just wasn't never around no damn TVs in the daytime.
Right. And I mean, Judge Wapner was the OG, People's Court. People's Court had the illest. They flipped that shit on the old Clue tape. I think it was a J record. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a house where, you know what I'm saying, the women, they kind of controlled the TV. So outside was your best option.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I stayed outside.
Yeah. Yeah, Judge Judy, Judge Wapner. Ed Koch was a judge for a hot second. That was a step down.
What's the black dude?
Judge Joe Brown.
Joe Brown. Didn't Joe Judge Brown get Mathis. Cased up in real life? Oh, yeah, Judge Mathis.
Judge Mathis, I think he's from Cleveland. And he, I think he used to be on, I think he claimed to have been like a pimp. Or something like that. So he always try to hit you with the street knowledge. He's like, brother, listen, you ain't slick. I know where you're going with. Like, he's Judge Familiar. And Judge Joe Brown, you know, Judge Joe Brown is cool. There was that video, Judge Joe Brown drunk than a motherfucker. But it was cool. He was an old man drunk, chilling, man. He went out there wilding. He was showing pictures of his wife and shit, real proud.
Yeah, nobody.
That was cool.
Nobody real mad at the on TV judges about nothing.
Yeah, you don't expect that much.
You don't expect that much. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you saw Maury out in the streets wilding out, you ain't tripping.
Nah, he's he deal with that wild shit. That's the,
you know what I'm saying? He the wild out show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ricky Lake.
Bugging out in the streets. Well, that's funny, because then why do we expect so much from Trump?
I don't know why these motherfuckers expect so much from Trump.
Because he's always been like a clown. Carnival barker.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't know why.
I think people expect more from the people.
I think
people are a little disappointed in America. I know. I'm like, if we get Trump as a president, we get the president we deserve.
Yeah, it ain't happening though. But
with, I don't say that shit no more.
See, that's why I think people are giving it that much credence now, because it has gone further than people thought it would go. Like, oh, hey, ha, 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 ha. Nah.
Can't dismiss it.
But then they see that audience, you know what I'm saying? They see that audience on the news every day, which to me is part of the whole shit, because they didn't show them motherfuckers you wouldn't even know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they'll show that somebody put on the internet Bernie at his little rally with 30,000 motherfuckers. And mm-hmm. But then all day on the news, you saw Trump rally, which had maybe, you know what I'm saying, 2,000. But, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, that shit looked bigger than everything because you seeing it all day. You know, somebody got swung on and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know. Well,
that's
shit
newsworthy shit.
Like the Ricky Lake. Yeah. It's like Ricky Lake
Morton
politics.
Downey Jr.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Morton Downey Jr.
So, you know what I'm saying, all this shit play into it. I don't take no credence to this shit, man, but that's just me.
This is the thing with Trump. First of all, Trump's been building his name since the 80s, right?
Right.
Trump in the 80s was almost like I'm trying to think of a sake of a better word. He was the epitome of wealth.
Synonymous.
Like he was synonymous. Thank you, Pop. He was synonymous with wealth. He was synonymous with New York wealth, tycoon. Right. He had his name on shit. He probably ain't never been richer than a lot of people, but Trump was the art of the deal. He was the businessman.
Right.
He was when you look in the dictionary under businessman in the 80s, Trump was there. I read The Art of the Deal. I got The Art of the Deal. It's a good fucking book. I hate to say it.
That was before he went over the edge.
That's before he went too far.
That's before he got on that show. Before
The
he
Apprentice.
Got, you're fired.
But that's what I'm saying. So this is from the 80s. I stopped fucking with him really like when you found out more about what he did with the Central Park Five, when he put that whole big ass ad in the, I think it was in the Times, about, you know, kind of just really like fast forwarding through due process is almost like throw the book at these kids. They deserve it. Blah blah blah. These are animals. Da 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 da. That's when I was like, okay, I see where he at with it. But from the 80s, he was synonymous with wealth. Then he did you seen his name on everything. That scene, meet me in the Trump International. The Trump felt like something. It has some cachet, even though, if you really go to see it, this shit is often very cheesy as fuck.
Right.
But that don't matter. So then he goes to The Apprentice, where he becomes this guy that's employing all these people. He's a deal maker again on the TV screen. And he's a deal maker with some of your favorite stars' lives in his hands.
Right.
Like, he telling niggas that you grew up watching TV with, you're fired. You're like, oh, damn, why you gonna do Arsenio like that? Why you did Sinbad like that? You know what I mean? Right. So, did you see that type of shit? His propaganda has been cracking for like 30 years.
Yeah, he know that game.
So, because the presidency is about a few things. It's a popularity contest. It's about selling some hope. It's about, unless you a fresh voice. That's the thing. Like, Hillary's not a fresh voice. People, you know, Hillary, it's like, come on. Like, at this point, people are like, Hillary's almost like some Leonardo. You know what I mean? Like, she's been in the game long enough. What's good? Not to, this is just my own cursory talk. But she ain't that most desirable as a candidate. She's a great alternative she's the anti-Trump. But if I had, I'd fuck with Bernie before I'd fuck with Hillary, and I just met Bernie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
so what you gonna do if it comes down to Hillary and Trump?
Come on. doing, man? I'm fucking going with Trump. Of course not. I'm going with Hillary. But that's the thing. I'm going with Hillary. But it's like, it ain't as, you know what it was? And maybe we only get these every few cycles.
A woman would be a fresh voice.
It'd be a fresh voice. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, but I'm not even making it a male-female thing. All I'm talking about Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders, whoever. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about who you have an affinity for, who you feel like, I'm going to vote more against Trump voting for Hillary than I am voting for Hillary.
And maybe that was the plan.
Maybe. Who knows? But what back to what I was saying, I think that we kind of get spoiled sometimes when it comes to politics. And maybe it only comes a few years. But like that Obama shit, that was a special moment. That whole
you
like...
You was voting black.
Not even just black.
You was voting for Hope?
Of course I was voting black.
You was voting for Hope.
Hope was the motherfucker too. Niggas needed
hoping,
hope.
You was hoping for a new America.
Everybody was hoping. Everybody thought America was going to be new. I went to the Apollo to watch the fucking inaugural address with Time Warner on the big screen with wow other hopeful motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was a moment.
Hope was a drug.
It was.
But he was also cool as hell.
He was cool.
Smart, like, you know, didn't look tore down by politics. You know what I'm saying?
He was
like,
so new in it.
He was brand new. You know what I mean? Like, it was lit. Like, Obama, we used to talk about that. Obama shit, going to vote was the flyest shit ever. Obama had, that shit was on fire. So, his lady arms was bananas. Like, come on, man. It wasn't,
now,
that shit don't.
Now, that's a group of people out there that feel that way about Trump.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if they feel like,
there's a moment.
He has hope. Let's make America great again.
Yes.
And it's a lot of motherfuckers.
They coming out with their shit.
Yeah, true.
Like, let us get a turn.
And that's why I don't dismiss Trump. That's why I feel like rather than dismiss that man, because I don't dismiss him because I dismissed him initially. Like, right. I was like, this dude ain't gonna make it this far. He's destroying the Republican shit. I don't believe he's gonna beat Hillary, but I won't dismiss that shit. Like, you know what I mean? It's a concern now.
See, it ain't, for me, that's not necessarily I'm gonna be dismissing Trump. I'm dismissing the process, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't want to get into all that, but you know what I'm saying? It's a tricky game out here. Some shit I don't want to say. That's why I'm not saying.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? What I will say is that, you know what I'm saying? I'm with this politics shit with the president and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like I am with the NBA right now. I'm going to come through in the playoffs. And then
when it gets exciting.
Not when it gets exciting. Once all the shit wash out, enough information is there, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to come through, do my due diligence, and then go cast my vote.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck I'm going to do. I'm not getting all into it right now, all there early in the season. So I'm going to spend the next 2 years
stressing
about Trump and, you know what I'm saying, this one and that one.
Nah, that's less than 2 years.
You know what I'm saying? But they've been pumping it up for shit almost a year now. They've been running around the country. And then it's going to be a whole nother, you know what I'm saying?
A whole nother round of it.
Round of this shit.
General.
So, you know what I'm saying? Once they figure out who the contender's going to be, Democrats pick their person, Republicans pick their person. Then I sit down and figure out what I'm going to do. Because I ain't getting into all this shit every day and caught up in the news cycle and this fake-ass shit they showing me on TV. That's what I'm not going to do.
All right. You ain't going to stretch yourself out with this shit just yet.
Nah, man, I got other shit to be worried about, man. Shit, they ain't going to be distracted. I got motherfucking kids that need shit, and I need to be focused on some real shit got to do with me.
Chris, how you feel?
Well, I have a couple of, I just wanted to say something to Ali's point. Like, I think a lot of people have that where I'll wait until it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
I think, and which is valid. I totally understand that. But I think actually the primary process, like what is going on now, is more valid than the later part. Because really then it's not really a choice. I mean, you're going to pay attention to it. You're not going to vote for Trump. You know what I mean? It's like you know that you're, maybe you won't vote, but the odds of you supporting Trump, you know, are pretty slim. Like, seeing Trump against Cruz, against Rubio, talking to the people that are actually vying for that candidacy is more valid than seeing him against Hillary, because he's going to look like an absolute asshole against Hillary. You know what I mean? Like, seeing the actual policy, watching Hillary compete against Bernie is way more valid than watching her compete against Trump, because it's so much easier for her to compete against Trump.
But that's also because you're smart.
But is it supposed to be that way? Did they make it that way?
You said what?
Did they make it that way?
How would they make it? What do you mean?
Who?
You know, it's a lot of string pulling. That's all. I think there's a lot of string pulling to a lot of this shit. And, you know, what we see ain't always what we get.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm more concerned with, because, like, how you thinking that there might be some string pulling? I'm worried that America might not be as bright as we think they are. You know what I mean?
Well, like, because
I do shows and I'm out there. I poll the crowd. I'm like, yo, anybody in here fuck with Trump? Now, we in New York City. And people be like, there's a few people, yeah, yeah. Like, and proud of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's nervous.
No doubt.
That's nervous.
Nah, but once you see shit like what happened with Bush the first time and shit, where the numbers come in and it's like Bush on there, like, I concede. And then wake up in the morning, it's like, shit, Bush the president. It's like, what the fuck going on, man?
Let me ask you this question, too, because it's real. Do you feel that shit affects your day to day?
What?
Who the president is?
Sometimes I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. You don't know if Obama was the one that affected this shit.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? That shit might have just going to happen the way it's going to happen. They just need somebody to motherfucking hold that shit down for 4 years.
All right. Shout out to my man Skeeter D in the building. Hey, yo, who that, Jared? What's going on? Jared got the motherfucking pioneer beard. Books? Huh?
Where are my Chief Wizard books?
Okay. Now we can't be having shit like that happen. shout out to them cats in the building. What up? They got a Slurpee donut coming out.
You on that?
I'm going to try it.
What the fuck is a 7-Eleven around this motherfucker?
7-Eleven and every. Yo, 7-Eleven is taking over the bodega. They're coming. Dude, they said maybe about 2 years ago, 7-Eleven said we're putting at least 150 7-Elevens in. Because I remember when they first started coming to New York City, you would see 7-Eleven on the outskirts, but never in the city. I remember the first one might have been on 42nd Street or something like that, and it was like, oh, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Them shits is everywhere. Like, everywhere in the hood, like, everywhere. Like, them shits is replacing bodegas. They're taking them down. I don't know about Brooklyn, but they all through Harlem, they all through, like, all through Manhattan, like, they coming.
They not in where I'm at, yeah. They not in Fort Greene, Bed-Stuy, like that.
They ain't watch.
I think I seen one like Flatbush.
They're coming.
Like on out Flatbush somewhere.
Yeah. They popping up all over.
Them so you gonna fuck with it?
I'm gonna just taste it to see what how does that even make sense?
A little diabetes situation.
Yeah, a little, come on, don't curse my shit. Come on, I'm gonna take a bite. Can't get diabetes from a bite. You know what I mean? Just take a nibble. That's the diabetic justification. You can't get it from just a little bite. Shit.
Like your grandma when you tell your grandma you don't eat pork and shit.
Little pork ain't never killed nobody.
Mama, what's wrong with you?
Your mama and daddy ate pork all their life.
Yeah. Then you smell the pork chops frying up, and you're like, you know what? Let me fuck with that one down. Let me see what's good. See, you good because you got religion. You claim that. Like, I just went away to college and felt the way, like, after a semester, was like, you know what? I don't fuck with it. And then that shit, you smelt it, you seen it on, you see the pepperoni slices, and then you've never had pork in your life, right?
Not consciously, you know what I'm saying?
See? So you can't really miss what you've never had.
Well, you know what I'm saying? That shit was a battle of wits, though. You know, like you had to, you go to your grandma's house and they frying pork chops and shit.
Right.
And you come in there telling me, you know, it was me and my sister, and I was a spokesman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we can't eat pork. Well, then what y'all gonna eat?
That's a hard battle to fight against your grandmother. How old are you doing this
like,
battle?
Like, you know, you like 8-9 years old.
They do the call ahead, like, you know, they don't eat pork.
They knew the shit.
But they wanted to see if they could break you.
Of course they wanted to see if they could break you because that's what they was making. You know, they going to buy certain shit for the week and they going to make it.
Do you think not eating pork made your resolve stronger as a young kid?
I mean, it definitely changes something in you that first time you had to sit there against your grandma and tell her.
Against your grandma?
You can't eat the pork. And she tell you, well, that's for dinner. If you don't eat the pork, you ain't going to eat dinner. And you like, okay, that's what it is. Yeah. And then it's that long silence.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know why your mom and them did this to you. And then she go in there and fix you an alternative.
Peanut butter and jelly or some shit.
You know what I'm saying?
It might be pork and the jelly.
You know what I'm saying? But then you know, okay, there's an option to what, you know, at that time, your grandma's word was the letter of the law.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And to be able to match wits with it and come against it and then come out
at an early age
victorious, it's like, okay, well, shit, everything ain't always what it seems.
Fight the power. The torch, yeah, you go apply that shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's, but it was, it's hard because when your grandma say,
grandma disappointment
if,
is the
if
worst.
If you're isn't not it? Eating this pork chop, you're not eating.
Yeah.
That shit is like, damn, I ain't gonna eat.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's dope. Yeah. I don't know. We was a pork household. We ain't never really have all that. We was fucking with pork from the door. So it was never. And so when I came back from college and shit, or I come, or I get on my whole do the knowledge shit, and I say I don't want to fuck with the, you know, that shit. And then, you know, actually, what happened too is my resolve ain't shit because they'll say, oh yeah, he gonna quit pork for 2 weeks. He'll be back on pork by Thanksgiving.
I just, they,
sure you know, enough,
grandma come bring, put the plate in front of him. Watch out, little bitch. Now he gonna take this plate.
There you go. Hey, have some pork.
Watch out with that.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, man. I got one last question. I'm gonna ask the people.
The questions be popping on the snap.
Yeah, we gotta get the people something.
They be hitting me like I asked the question.
Well, shit. Hit me too, man. You know what I mean? I like that. Let's do it again. Show yourself listening to the podcast. I want to see you listening to it. Shout out to everybody that, and this got some people with some real ass jobs. I think somebody was moving some inmates.
Everybody got real jobs. Yeah, on this
but I made like some shit. Like, damn, son, I'm glad that I could be there. Exactly. And you get some inspiration.
Exactly.
You know, shit. What's the best? I think when it comes to champagne, let me. I was thinking about this. When it comes to champagne, dog, it's
super relatable questions coming
in. Man, come on, that's the question. Because how often do you really fuck with champagne? It's typically some big shit. And then how many champagnes do you really know?
And you don't know shit.
You know maybe two. You're a hype beast when it comes to champagne. Like everybody know Mo, everybody know Dom, and you might know Vuv,
Chris,
Ace.
No, it's Ace now.
Who?
France.
Yeah, he's shouting France. Out the region. Yeah, you
know, but that's what it is.
Yeah, champagne no, I understand. I'm talking about names because this is the thing. I was going to get some champ, right? Uh-huh. For some, and the guy at the liquor store was I. You know, I went with my names, my go tos. I was like, yo, you got this or you got that? They were like, nah, but I got Piper.
Yeah, Piper was one of the joints. And
you gotta have a context because he was like, Piper's way better than all of this shit. Then he hit me with another one that I had never heard about. Such and such is better than da da da. But this is my thing. When you send in a deliverable, when you send in the situation, especially because I don't think most people. Chris, when was the last time you had some champagne?
When I got engaged.
Okay. Right. Now, if what would feel better? Let's be honest, like somebody sent you a bottle of Dom, you know, happy engagement, or they sent you a bottle of Gallagher's. That might be the shit.
Right.
That you gotta do the knowledge to really know that this shit is way better than Dom. Impact.
Well, it's the same thing you're saying about Trump. The name is synonymous with something. You see Dom, you think this is a good champagne. Yeah,
there it is. It's all about branding.
See, and it's all about occasion. You know what I'm saying? Because there's certain brands that, you know, when you don't know shit about the champagne,
you about to show us this.
When you don't know shit,
subtleties and fly shit.
You know, it's not even subtleties because you don't know. You don't know shit, but you know where certain shit should be as far as branding wise. You know what I'm saying? If it's a summer situation outside and it's halfway kind of fly, you might send a bottle of Vuv. You know what I'm saying? The Vuv Clicquot look good.
Why? Because it's yellow?
Because it look good in the summer.
Okay.
And they had a little Poto tournament.
Why? Because it's yellow?
Because the branding that you see out in the world.
Dom don't look good in the summer? Is that a winter champagne?
Dom is definitely a winter.
This shit got a green bottle?
And like, Dom is when you want to make a statement like, I paid a lot for this shit. Appreciate it.
Oh, man.
Vuv is, you know what I'm saying? It's moderately priced. It's moderate. Yep. You know what I'm saying? It's respectably priced where you come in. And it's like okay. He ain't just go to the cheap. He ain't go to the cheap section and get us nothing.
Not that White Star.
Nah, ain't the White Star. Okay, it's a respectable. That's you come in most occasions and be respectable with the Vuv.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? When you want to say, hey, spend some money, but I'm still kind of classy. I'm gonna send you the Dom.
Okay,
if you want to say, hey, I spent a ridiculous amount of money and I really am just trying to show out, you might send an Ace of Spades because. That shit is expensive. That shit expensive for I don't even know what reason.
Because you paying for that gold bottle.
Like, what was this shit 10 years ago?
Because what happens is when you go to a liquor store, that's when they get on their Somali. That's when they get on their shit. They be like, oh, what, are you going to buy some Ace? Is that what you, you know that swill, right? You know you're paying for the bottle. You know, if you uninformed, you're going to feel like, oh,
Fuck, maybe you I should get the Gallagher's.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, me, an uninformed champagne purchaser.
Right.
I just purchase it by brand, tenants, and, you know what I'm saying, style factor. Like wearing a polo shirt, you know what I'm saying? The, you know, Vuv is the polo of motherfucking champagnes to me.
It's been established.
It's established enough to say, okay, he got on a polo shirt, he's all right, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? He ain't slumming up in there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Well, he ain't got no rapper endorsing this champagne, because all it takes is Jay to put that shit in a verse, and motherfuckers will be fucking with Gallagher.
Yeah. No doubt.
Shout out to Gallagher. I don't think there's a Gallagher champagne, but you never know.
Moet Chandon, good for the barbecue, if you want to come through the barbecue.
Especially some nice vintage.
Block party.
Play a Biggie record in the background.
Come through the block party with the, you know what I mean? Like, you want to turn it, like, you want to dress it up a little bit.
Why motherfuckers always now the shit is to buy the whole bottle to the head? Who drink that much champagne and enjoy themselves? These niggas, these fronting. That's fronting.
That's, of course, that's what it's always been.
But it's just funny the levels of fronting that we get into.
Nah, it was always been that shit. Champagne in the club was always fronting.
Yeah, but it wasn't to the neck.
It was. It was spray. Shit.
Champagne showers.
Was spraying that shit back in the day.
But okay, but that's the
niggas in the club in Miami was drinking the Pipers with the straw coming through the club.
Oh, see, I ain't know about that. That's slick.
That's strawberries. You know what I'm saying?
That is bullshit. I know whoever worked with the Pipers estate is looking at that shit like,
they was not complaining when them cases was moving.
What you call it started complaining? Remember Chris Stahl? That's why Jay went to Ace of Spades. Yeah,
that was that one motherfucker in France complaining. I bet the U.S. distributor was like, God damn it.
Fucked it all the way
up. This motherfucker here.
Well, listen, man, whatever champagne you got on deck, why don't you pop that right now in celebration of another episode of In the Conversation. Ali, where you going to be at this week?
I'm going to be in the lab in Brooklyn, man. But I think we should tell them about our live show.
Oh, all right. May 22nd. Come out, get your tickets. We're going to have a lot more information. There's an Eventbrite link. We're going to put that up.
Yeah.
But
we're doing our first ever live In the Conversation.
Cake shop in the Lower East Side.
At PodFest NYC.
PodFest NYC 2016.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we're going to have the whole triumvirate on deck.
And, you know, we're gonna do it a little differently probably than the other podcasts.
Probably. Bring some champagne. Your favorite.
I think that's what we might have to do. We're going to have a lot of shit. A
little champagne toast, some Pipers with the straws.
Urbanize the PodFest.
Okay.
For this occasion.
All right.
So come through. It's going to be lit.
Right.
Turn up, get your tickets.
There it is. So you in Brooklyn, anything else?
Oh, shit. Nah, I've been working on a lot of productions. So I'm about to launch the new site, the Thorough TV Network.
Okay.
So we working on a lot of original productions that, that's got me stretched out. So I'm going to be all over the city just shooting shit, you know what I'm saying, looking for, you know, cool ideas and cool people to fuck with.
There it is.
So holla at your boy.
Holla at him. Tonight I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar on the 11:30 show, so y'all can come through that. Thursday I'm at Stand Up New York, 10 o'clock show. Friday I'm at the Stand on the 10 o'clock show. Scottsdale, Arizona, I'm there March 31st through April 3rd. Get your tickets now. I'm coming out there to Arlington, Texas, at the Arlington Improv. I want to say that's April 29th. I'm not sure. That's definitely on DamianLemon.com. Denver Improv, I'm coming there. And Helium in Philly, I'm on my way. So, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.